Stage Dramas present The Mystery of the Mary Celeste. This week's front page drama, The Mystery of the Mary Celeste, is a dramatization of one of the stories of ghost ships that are told in a feature article to be found in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine that is read by 6.5 million families every week. No other publication can boast of such a large circulation. Join these 6.5 million families who each week order the Hearst Sunday newspaper that brings them their favorite magazine, The American Weekly. In next Sunday's issue of The American Weekly, under the title of A Baffling SOS Puts Another Ghost Ship on the High Seas, you will find several stories of famous mystery ships that have been recorded on the pages of maritime history. But none are as well known as the mystery of the Mary Celeste. Early in November 1872, she lay in her berth in New York, her hold fully loaded with a cargo of barrels of oil. She was not a big vessel and was, according to the law, very much overloaded, her deck only a foot or so above the waterline. And because she was not a very sturdy craft, there were few sailors who wanted to man her on a trip across the Atlantic in the treacherous November weather. Furthermore, although her captain, William Briggs, was not exactly a driver, he was close-fisted and not popular. But the first mate was the man sailors feared, for Toby Hullock, alias the Baltimore Bully, was a great hulk of a man, a relentless tyrant, bad to fall foul of, as seamen put it. So although the Mary Celeste was ready to put out to sea with cargo in the hold, she still lacked a complete crew. But that was to be remedied at Big Nose Maggie's.
Hey, Peter. What's this I hear about you skipping off on old man Briggs's tub?
Yeah, you're right, Maggie. I'm going to do old Duncan Finlay a favor. I can't stay on there any longer.
Well, you'll have to. You wait for old man Briggs to get a crew. Well, he's been trying to sail for 2 weeks.
We only need one more hand now. Captain Morehouse of the De Grazia finally agreed to let Briggs have 3 of his men.
What? Why did he get so big-hearted all of a sudden? Why, he's been keeping hands from shipping on the Mary Celeste in the hopes of getting a cargo for his De Grazia if old man Briggs couldn't sail. Something fishy there.
Morehouse sent Tom Moffat, Charlie Manning, and Billy Hawley from the De Grazia to the Mary Celeste. And then, besides Toby Hollick as mate, we've got Jack Dorsal as boatswain and captain.
I don't know anything about the 3 from the De Grazia. Toby Hullock and Jack Dorsal are as fine a pair of bone crackers as I ever laid eyes on. Either one of them has a heart no bigger than a green pea.
Back again.
Who's that, Maggie?
It's a farm boy from Ohio. He's been in here twice, and I've missed a second away to put his fist through. His proper place would be in a cage where he's fit for a madhouse. I'll give him a drink that'll put a tent in him. When he wakes up, he'll be aboard the Mary Celeste. Hey, Charlie, come here.
What is it, Maggie?
Give me my dollar. I got a crimp for you to shop aboard the Mary Celeste. Big, but Peter here will help you lug him aboard.
That's the ticket. Here. Here's your dollar, Maggie. My, but you're a smart one.
Sure. Hey, you, farmer boy. Come on over and have a drink. I'm going to talk to you.
I know you can wind me, I sure is. Here I am, Maggie. The best man in the place. Best man.
Yeah. Drink to that.
Yeah.
Here you are.
Yeah.
Bottoms up, my boy.
Enough, Maggie. I'm the man for you. Here's to your top. Strong whiskey for strong man. Hey, Maggie?
That's the idea. You're the kind of a man Maggie goes for.
Hey, you she-devil, where'd you put that drink? Where'd you put that drink?
There you are, Peter. Tell old man Briggs he can sail in the morning. But he better do it early, and he better be out at sea before this bull moose comes too.
And in the meantime, aboard the Mary Celeste, Captain Briggs and his wife are seated in their cabin discussing the crew and prospective voyage.
It's no use complaining, Mary. I know Toby Hullock isn't the most pleasant man to have aboard, but he's a good first mate.
Fasten. He's nothing but an uncouth hog. Can't stand him. and I won't eat at the same table with him.
Now, Mary, don't start trouble before we set sail. Stay out of Hullock's way. Don't nag him or interfere. He'll be all right. I tried to get another mate, but it's hard enough to get ordinary seamen, let alone a good mate. Come in.
Well, we can sail in the morning, Skipper. Got our last hand. Charlie Moore just brought him aboard. Blasted good hand he'll make, too.
Sure, Captain. This fellow's the hand Mr. Finley promised us. Finley says, take him or look out. He's a fellow Big Nose Maggie sent up. He's all strung up and got to sea quick.
All right. Here's your $4. Now get along.
Come on, vamoose, Charlie.
Sure. Good night.
That tug Skipper's pulling out to Victoria in the morning. You want to share the tug?
Yeah. Yep. That'll do, Hullock. It'll save us money, too. Good night.
All right.
Well, Mary, the hands are aboard. The weather's good. We sail in the morning. Our troubles are all over.
All over my foot. But the crew you've got, they're only just starting.
So the following morning, November 7, 1872, with a crew of nine and the captain's wife, the Mary Celeste set out for Genoa, Italy. The sun was shining when the brig got out to sea. The breeze was stiff and the sea running high. On the dock, the only person up to wave farewell was Captain Morehouse, whose ship lay alongside and who was later ordained to find the Mary Celeste, a wandering derelict at sea. Once out in open water, the Mary Celeste settled down to steady running. With the wind from the west and under all canvas, Captain Briggs set his course for the Azores. The queer crew were hard at work, never suspecting that they would vanish into thin air. For almost a month later, December 4th, Captain Morehouse of the Dei Gratia, sailing about 400 miles due west of Portugal, sighted a sail and soon overhauled it. It was a brig about 300 tons. He hollered orders to his crew.
Signal, Lord Milligan.
I did, sir, but she doesn't answer. She appears to be swagging all over the place. Must be something wrong, sir. Take a look through your glasses, Skipper. See if you can see anything.
Why, bless my heart, Milligan. There's no one at the wheel. In fact, there's no one on deck at all.
No one at the wheel. No one on deck. Why, she's bowling along under all canvas, sir.
Aye, I can see that. But why is she unattended? Tell the wheelsman to bring us over to the starboard tack. We'll soon be close enough to give the hail.
Aye, sir.
And keep your eye on her, Milligan. Take the glasses. Watch for some of our hands to come on deck. I'll be below.
We're alongside her, all but Skipper. Still can't see any hands aboard. Wheels still unattended. I gave the hail, but there was no answer.
Get a boat out. Row away and send four men over and see what's up.
Aye, aye, sir.
Hey, Dillon!
Yes, sir.
You take command of that boat. Pour that drink. I have an idea there's something wrong aboard.
Aye, sir.
Simpson!
Aye, sir.
Simon!
Aye.
Higgins!
Aye.
Man the boat!
Aye, man the boat!
Bowen, Simpson, you search the forecastle. I'll touch the cabin with Milligan. Let's go below.
Ain't nobody in here. That feels all right.
This is the skipper's cabin. Everything in order. Truck full of woman's clothing and a sewing machine on the table.
This must have been first mate's cabin. Bunk all made up, ship shape, everything in perfect order. It's mighty queer, Milligan.
Aye, it is, that, sir. Shall we go back on deck and see what Kerwin and Simpson have found?
Hey, maybe they've found something.
Aye.
Anything to focus on?
No, sir.
There's some chucks drying on a line. Three chests, all in order. Two canvas kit bags, all stowed away. Nothing disturbed. Everything clean and ship-shaped, but not a sign of one of the hands.
How about the hold? Maybe there's some down there. Open the hatch and go below, Simpson.
Aye, aye, sir.
Heaven. Rowan says there's a chicken stewing in a pot in the galley. Fire's been raked out, but the stove is still warm. There's a cat asleep on one of the lockers, too. No human hands.
No hands,
Mm-hmm.
I have it.
I'll bet my boots he's a plaguer. Cholera, maybe. Died of it and jumped over one by one.
Well, how about the last one to die? He'd be here, wouldn't he?
Oh, or maybe he fell overboard and he was jumping the last one before him over.
Now, we've stretched your old bitch. Cargo oil. A barrel. All in order. Nobody below, though. I looked over everything careful.
Hello there! Hello, aboard there, Dillon! What did you find?
Everything shipwrecked, skipper. Cabins and forecastle all in order. Chicken cooking on galley stove. No signs of struggle. Nothing out of place. But not a single soul aboard, sir. Cargo all in order. Drums and barrels of oil. The ship has been abandoned, sir.
Get the ship forward. The slate, first box and papers. Go over everything thoroughly to make sure the various yards are sound. Leave one man at the wheel, then come back and report.
Aye, aye, sir.
Well, Devon, that's the queerest thing I ever heard of. A perfectly good ship. Everything work away and in good order. Abandoned at sea. No signs of disorder. No bloodstains. Evidences of fights or mutiny. No signs of fire. The ship's small boats wedged firmly in place, and yet no crew. Not a living soul. They've disappeared. But how? How do they get off the ship?
That's my thing, sir. No other ship could have taken them off because no other ship would have neglected to salvage the vessel.
If there had been any sudden distress, they could have made for one of the Azores. They're only a short run.
Aye, sir. And you didn't think I was right about the plague, sir?
No, if anyone had come down with it, Captain Briggs would have entered in his log. If he had been ill with it, the mate would have taken command and entered it.
And what the sweet San Ferian did happen?
That's something for the authorities to figure out. Maybe they'll find the answer to it. In the meantime, we found it.
He's a valuable prize. He's got a valuable cargo aboard. And that means a nice, juicy salvage plan. I'm taking charge of her, sending a small crew to work her in a port. We'll put in to Gibraltar.
One morning toward the middle of December 1872, the Dei Gratia brought the little American brig, the Mary Celeste, into Gibraltar. The story related about the derelict Mary Celeste by the crew of the Dei Gratia was deemed so extraordinary that the officials summoned the Attorney General of the place. The Attorney General ordered a board of examiners to overhaul the American vessel, to unravel, if they could, the reason why she had been abandoned in mid-ocean and what happened to her people. An American naval inquiry was also started, but nothing ever came to light. There was nothing that suggested a crime of violence had occurred, nothing that suggested sickness, mutiny, or that the vessel was in any danger that would cause the crew to abandon her. The most exhaustive official inquiry threw no light on the matter, and the affair was finally closed as an unsolved mystery. And the fate of the Mary Celeste became the most celebrated and argued about mystery of modern times. You have just heard a dramatization of The Mystery of the Mary Celeste, one of several stories of mysteries of the sea to be found under the title of A Baffling SOS Puts Another Ghost Ship on the High Seas, a feature article to be found in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world, read every week by 6.5 million Americans with their Hearst Sunday newspaper.